FBI Studio. This is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Roth. Hey everybody, I'm back from my vacation and I hope all of you had a wonderful week. I had a great time relaxing with friends and family up in the beautiful North Woods of Michigan. And while I was up there, Mike wanted me to send his love along to all of you. It was great getting to spend some time with him, and now that I'm back, I'm feeling refreshed and ready to continue our march down the path to the truth in the Pinyon Pines triple homicide. This season has been long and slow, but I'm really happy with the progress we've made so far. We've been able to eliminate a lot of suspects, and I really believe that we're starting to narrow in on the relevant victimology that may have led to this horrific crime. Today, you're going to hear a series of interviews that should help us to move the ball forward. We're going to hear from a resident of Pinyon Pines who knew the family very well. She was also a teacher and personally knew Becky, Robert, and Robert's girlfriend, Sarah. We're also going to hear from one of John's co-workers, as well as two of Vicky's co-workers. This is Season 12, Episode 34, John and Vicky.
Texas Ranger James Holland is a legendary interrogator. They call him the serial killer whisperer.
You can't hide those indications, and that's why yesterday I knew that he did it.
But now, shocking interrogation tapes reveal how the super cop really operates.
And that's why they asked me to come in, because I'm special.
From Something Else, The Marshall Project, and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Smokescreen. Just say you're sorry. Listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The first interview is with Pinyon Pines resident Maggie Montoya. Maggie was a school teacher who taught Robert, Becky, and Sarah. She had also been around long enough to know Vicky, John, and even Ron. This is the longest interview in the set for today, so without any further ado, here's Maggie Montoya's police interview.
Hello.
Hi, Maggie. This is Investigator Eichelt from the Sheriff's Department.
What's the name?
Eichelt.
Okay.
First name is Dave. You were talking to Investigator Sims.
Yes, I was.
He had to run out of the office, so he wasn't able to call you back.
Oh, I figured that.
I was in an interview, so I couldn't call you back. Would you prefer I call you in the morning?
No. As long as I'm outside the house, we have a child inside, so I just don't want to discuss it around her.
Okay. When you say child, you mean like
a 9-year-old.
Okay.
My husband's granddaughter.
Fair enough.
Is with us for a little while.
Okay. Go ahead. You said you would have some information for us, maybe?
Yeah.
Can I get just your, real quick, is that Maggie short for Margaret?
Yes, it is Margaret.
And your birthday?
It's
okay. Can I have your address on a piece of paper and your phone number?
I just want to know what kind of information you want, but I can, I don't know what you're looking for.
Well, it's hard to quantify exactly what we're looking for.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure out who did this and why. More importantly, who, and then we'll figure out the why later. But if people call up and say, I hear that this is happening, or I heard this was happening, we're just trying to figure out, trying to filter through the truth and that kind of stuff.
Well, I have several things. I've lived up here since 86, so I know the community pretty well.
Okay.
I lived in this general area since 1991 and moved onto the street in 1994.
Okay.
So I have been, they're a stone throw from me.
Right.
I'm one of the two closest neighbors.
And you live
there's a log
or west from their house.
Right, we're kitty corners, so we're
across the
street from the log home, and it's kitty corner to them.
Okay.
So we're their closest neighbor besides Sharon on the across the street.
Right.
And because Vicky was alone a lot after her divorce, she would stop and talk to me.
Okay.
So there's several things I could throw out at you. One, I'm just going to tell you.
Sure. Just go for it.
Yeah. One, I know they had a messy divorce.
Right.
And I know a lot of strange stories about Ron Friedley.
Okay.
Beside the fact that he would wear his combat stuff up here. She, I don't know, but this is something you're probably already investigating, but would be good to know if she's still continuing to get money right now. I know a year or two ago she told me that she was still receiving money from him and wanted to continue to have him support her. I don't know if it was alimony or child support or both.
Okay.
Because of what he did to her as far as, you know, having multiple partners and stuff.
Okay.
So, during their marriage.
Right.
So, she would tend to go on about that.
Okay.
You know, I don't know all the details because I'm not a big, when it comes to people talking about, you know, their problems about spouses, I tend to, you know, try to cut them short.
Right.
I don't want to hear it all.
Sure.
But she did on several occasions lead her conversation that way. And so that was the first red flag when I found heard there were bodies. That was my first red flag. I went, whoa.
Right.
You know. Another one is that I teach high school. I teach at Cathedral City High School.
Right.
And her daughter was a student there for just a brief time. And she had asked me to take her down, you know, to drive her to school. And
that was Becky had asked you to do that?
Becky had asked me to take Becky.
Okay.
And I said, you know, with my teaching schedule, it's just really too hard. And my daughter was already in college, and I just said, if you can find another way, great. So I didn't do that, but she did attend our school.
Okay.
And she was a bit of a controller with boyfriends. Here's an instance. Okay, because last year she was not at the school. And I had a teacher assistant out in my tennis class that was dating her ex-boyfriend.
Okay.
And his name... Okay, hang on. His name is Robert Pape.
Okay.
P-A-P-E. And Sarah told me, she said that we're having troubles. I said, well, what's the problem? And she said, well, Robert keeps talking to his old girlfriend. And I told him that if he really loves me, he should be talking to her.
Right.
What happened to be Becky? She said, you know, Miss Montoya, you probably know her because she lives up by you.
Right.
I said, really?
And how long ago was this conversation
happening? This was just last year.
Okay.
About a year ago this time. And she said, as a matter of fact, he talks to her all the time because he's worried about her. And I said, what are you talking about? And she said, well, she said she would kill herself if he didn't stay with her.
Okay.
I said, well, you know, don't, you know, you just have to take it for a grain of sand because the Friedleys are like that. They're just kind of like, you know, they're all out there a little bit.
Okay.
So I just, and that was the conversation, and it came up several times until he finally, the boyfriend finally just told her, I can't do this, it's bothering Sarah. But she happened to live in L.A. for a while, and I don't know how long Becky lived in L.A.
Okay.
But she came back home. I think she tried to go to school up there, and I'm not positive, so this is all hearsay.
Okay.
Okay, those are two things. Those are the first two things.
What's Sarah's last name, or do you know?
Sarah Honaker, H-O-N-A-K-E-R.
Okay.
Okay, so those were the two students that were having a little bit of, you know, problems with her. But when Sarah said more than once is that she said Robert doesn't want to quit talking to her because she's going to kill herself. I said, you know what? Tell him to let her kill herself.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't let people control you like that. That's unhealthy.
Right.
So that was my second red flag. So when I heard there were bodies, because I was here, we were here the night it burned because we live across the street. And so when I heard bodies, those are the first two things that came to my mind. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, I'm trying to think of what else, because I know she dated several boys.
So before you move on to the next topic, you're saying that your suspicion was that maybe she had done something because of something he might have done or said to her?
Well, I don't think it had anything to do with him. I'm thinking it may be some new boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
You know, I don't think that connection, I don't know. It's not, you know, I was going to call and I thought, you know, this is not, they're graduated now. It's, you know, just let it go.
Right.
You know, and talk to somebody that's investigating. So, I mean, the red flag was, first of all, was Ron.
Right.
Friesley, because of his past and their rocky road and that he was still doing, supporting financially.
Right.
And so, who knows?
Okay.
Unless he had a great alibi, who knows?
Right. Right.
So then the daughter was the other factor. And I'm trying to think. I thought there was something else I was going to tell everybody.
Well, you said she used boy or was controlling with boys.
She was, and I don't know any other boyfriends.
Okay, so you're basing that off of this.
Right.
Okay.
That tends to be a pattern.
Right.
I'm a health teacher. That tends to
sure,
be a pattern.
I understand.
You know, so.
I just don't want you to tell me things that are conclusions you've made.
Right. Right, she was controlling.
Tell me the instances, but if you
right.
made a conclusion, tell me why.
That,
otherwise, I'll just think, that, you know what I mean?
Right, that was just one instance, and that was definitely controlling. And that's all I know. And I don't know if I'm drawing that conclusion because they said it happened to her in the past.
Okay.
But I do know that she had boyfriends.
Okay.
Okay, here's another interesting story. There is a neighbor that was missing that night that wasn't here.
Okay.
On the street. He goes by the name of Harpo. He's the Harpo the Clown.
Steve.
Uh-huh. Steve W. Winnetsky or something.
Yeah, nobody seemed to know his last name.
I know. It's real hard to... I mean, I could look it up in a phone book.
Right. He was in Catalina, from what I understand.
That one I would check out.
Right. Okay.
Because, you know, he has started a weird pattern where he started not to talk to neighbors for the stupidest reasons.
Okay.
And I tend to be a really nice person, and my husband didn't repair his roof, and he quit talking to us. And every time I go running, he hides. And that's just strange. Very, very strange.
He would run and hide?
He would hide behind a bush, so he didn't want me to see him. It's weird. He's kind of real strange, and he has... He's never caused me any harm or said anything mean to me, but just his actions are weird.
Okay.
My neighbor Sharon has had a feud with him over this dog run, and she's been getting some strange emails from him, pretty angry emails from him.
So over, like, shared property, you mean?
Over,
or mutual
years ago,
property?
Yeah, a dog run, it's like a big dog cage.
Okay.
Was given to him. But she lent it to him.
Okay.
And she wanted it back.
And he wasn't having that.
Well, and she can be unreasonable.
Okay.
I think he can be unreasonable.
Okay.
And so she told me the last couple of days that she's been having some bad emails. So tonight I just said, you know, what's with the emails?
Right.
You know, and she said, you won't believe some of the emails he sent me. I said, well, yeah, it's probably a good idea to save them. She said, I save them in case he takes me small claims over some money. But it's strange he was gone that night because John, the gentleman that was killed,
right.
was helping Sharon put the dog cage together on her property. Now, this is real stupid, and it's a real small thing.
Right.
But it's there. And that's all I know.
Okay.
So I noticed he's home tonight.
Right.
His lights are on, because I asked her, I said, is Steve back in town? She said, yep. And I said, interesting.
Was he there yesterday?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Not that I know
of.
We
were told he was supposed to be back a certain day. I was just curious if he showed up.
Yeah. Yeah. I just thought that was a little suspicious to me. But, you know, I tend to go, And so, you know, it's funny because there's only a few of us up here, but we keep an eye on each other's houses. And
right.
it kind of
right.
was weird. I was gone most of that Sunday, and that night I was so tired that we went to bed early. So
he helped her fix the dog run?
Yes, he was in the middle of the project. He was helping her put the dog run together on her property.
After she got it back from Steve?
Right.
And he was pissed about that?
Oh, yeah.
To begin with.
Oh, yeah. He lost his only dog about 5 months ago, was run over. So he's, you know, and then here goes this cage, so I know he was He was, he's been very angry. I haven't talked to him, but that's what she told me. And I just said tonight, I said...
Well, did you just mention something previously, in just case I missed it, that John had also helped Steve with something? Worked on his house or something?
I don't know. She may have said that. I didn't.
Okay, fair enough.
I didn't. I know there was some connection. He wanted some help,
okay.
But I don't know. Sharon would know that.
Okay.
And her last name's Coleman.
Right. I'm not sure if anyone has talked to her yet or not. Most people we've talked to at least briefly in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll do usually a formal interview.
She would be a really good person to talk to because of the two of us, we both knew the Freedleys pretty
the best.
Better than most people up here.
Right.
But Sharon knew them the best because he was a handyman on her property.
Okay.
She hired
Interesting,
him.
Because other neighbors said that Steve was their closest friend.
Steve W.?
Yeah.
You know, I thought they were kind of connected, but I don't know because he quit talking to me about a year ago
right.
over the stupid roof, and I thought, holy cow. But you know what? I just go, okay, whatever. whatever. So, you know, that's interesting because John was helping Sharon. So, you know, if other neighbors said they were close, he'd be a good one to talk to, obviously.
Okay.
And that's really, if I can think of anything else, you know, I will. All I know is I just know that Ron Freely was, yeah, hopefully he has an alibi and that's not him, but, yeah, it's a little bit, you know, haven't been.
Well, you said there was a bunch of weird stories.
Yeah.
Can you share any that you have personal experience of?
No, I don't, because I just know that I saw him in camouflage once, and I just thought that was the weirdest thing.
Okay.
You know, I just thought that was so strange. No. But I've heard, she just said he was real mean, and he was abusive, but I don't know. Other people might know better. I know that, I wish... You know, Sharon might be able to give you some names of people that knew him even better.
Okay.
Because she moved onto the street when the kids were really little, and then I moved onto the street when they were more like middle school.
Right.
So I just wish I could tell you more. It's very strange because it does worry me a little bit if somebody's weird.
Absolutely.
Huh?
Absolutely. Especially if they're living down the street from you.
What's that?
Especially if they may be living down the street from you.
I know.
That would worry me too.
Yeah. This is the first time. I think today's been the first time I'm probably more concerned instead of not as in shock.
Right.
So.
It'll wear off and then you'll start to think about things.
That's what's happening.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what's happening. It's really strange because that is what's happening because... I think yesterday when I saw one of the policemen still guarding the house, I just went up to him and I said, "You are still guarding." They weren't guarding yesterday morning. And he said, "Well, we're having somebody do a search warrant." And I said, "Well, I thought some more stuff today, and I really could tell somebody." It was the third time I'd given my name, and I know there's a lot of leads. So, There is a gentleman named Dick Hartley. He doesn't live here in Pinyon anymore. He lives in Gardner Valley.
Okay.
But he has stories about Ron Freedley. I just don't remember them all.
Okay.
And when he came up Monday afternoon.
Now let me ask you this.
Hmm?
As far as general observations go, do they have a lot of visitors, or if not... Any new visitors recently or
no.
Anything that you went, I've never seen that car there before, that kind of thing?
Well, you know, it's strange because their driveways, it's set back, so it's hard to
right.
tell if new cars are there.
Right.
But I didn't notice anything. A couple of things that are different from my neighbor sharing. Earlier she shared, I don't know if she shared it with the local news or if it was a detective, but she reported that they never had any domestic fight, but I did hear one a year and a half ago that was really, really, really loud and really, it concerned me,
mm-hmm.
Because it was, you know, it sounded like the two of them, it was a man and woman just
right.
full on screaming at each other, yelling and, you know, just it was awful, and I was like, whoa. And that was one instance. That's the only time I ever heard them, that I ever heard him.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing that was strange is that one day, we have horses, and one of my horses was being delivered to the property, and I was out on the street, and Vicky drove by in her van and stopped. And she said, Maggie, I can't believe that you have horses. She goes, I'd really like to take care of them. If you ever need me to take care of them, I love horses. You know, I had a horse, and John stepped out of the van, and he was totally ripped. I mean, he looked like he was drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. She had to help him and put him back. He was trying to talk and slurring words, and she put him back in the van, and she said, oh, Maggie, just don't pay attention to John right now. But that was, just kind of, well, I mean, that stuff happens.
Right.
But it just was like, wow, okay.
Hmm.
So there could have been, I don't know. Just a sighting. I know, you know. I don't know a whole lot more.
All right. Well, I was a little bit interested about the different things. Now, you were saying the ex-boyfriend Robert Pape,
mm-hmm.
is his mother a teacher with you?
Yes. She not with me, but in the district. How'd you know that?
Well, because we've been investigating.
Wow.
She works at James Workman, though.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Yes.
I'm just making sure that they were, in fact, related.
It's the same family, yeah.
Okay. And do you know anything about him? What can you tell me about him?
I know he had a little bit of trouble at school, but he was always really polite and nice to me, always. And, you know, I don't have anything bad to say about him.
About how old do you think he'd be now?
Probably 19.
Okay. Fair enough. We'll get some info from him. Okay.
And your name again is?
What's that?
What's your name again?
My name is Dave.
Okay, good. Okay, well, if there's anything else I can help you with, if I think
feel free to call us and leave a message. We'll call you back.
Yeah, I will.
Anytime.
And I just, I just really saying prayers you guys get to the bottom of this quick.
Me too.
It sure is awful when somebody knows what they're doing when they set fires like that.
Right.
To cover stuff up.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I appreciate the information.
Thank you for calling.
You bet.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Our next interview is with a guy named Devin Morrell. Devin worked for about 6 months with John at the property management company. He didn't work for John. It sounds like he was either an employee of Mr. Rutherford's or another contractor just like John. You're going to hear that John was basically working 40 hours a week for Rutherford. He was delinquent in his taxes. And you'll hear that John didn't care for Robert. The time frame that you're going to hear Devin mentioning is right around the time that Becky and Robert broke up, which would have been somewhere around January, February of 2006. And they were dating in December or Christmas of 2005, which is the time frame Devin's going to mention. So without any further ado, here's Devin.
It's Morrell, M-O-W, or M-O-R-R-E-L-L.
That's correct.
Okay. Your wife said that you'd like to talk to me about some things that John might have told you.
Well, I worked with him for like from October of 2005 until about March or April of this year.
Okay.
So I mean, we worked from like 9 to 5 every single day. So I don't know if there's any questions you want to ask me that you know.
Well, sure. I can ask you several.
Okay.
just kind of tell me about him a little bit.
Well, he was a real nice guy. I mean, we worked together, and he didn't really ever have anything to say except, like, there were just a couple times he mentioned he didn't like his daughters, that Rebecca's boyfriends too much, or one of them. I don't ever, he never said a name, but he just told me that he didn't like him very well.
Any elaboration on that?
There wasn't very much at all, because I didn't really get into it with him, because, you know, so I was like, I'd just stay out of it. It's not my deal, but,
right.
You know.
And, so you have no idea. Do you ever meet her boyfriend?
I never met him. I've only met her, and, you know, she was always a real nice girl, but she never mentioned anything to me about him at all.
Right. And so was it like one specific guy he had a problem with, it sounded like to you, or?
It sounded like it was one specific person, but like I said, there was never any name or anything.
Right. And this is, was this in the beginning or towards the end of the time you worked with him?
Probably right in the middle, so probably around December-ish, I'd say.
Okay, like Christmas time?
Yeah.
Okay. What kind of stuff was he saying?
Let's see. It was a long time ago, so. From what I remember, it was just that he wasn't very nice to Becky. Is all that I can remember him ever saying, that he just wasn't, you know, a good boyfriend or whatever, you know, just that he wasn't nice to her. I don't ever remember him saying that there was any confrontations between any of them, but, you know, it could just be my lapse of memory in that time.
Right. But it was enough for him to mention it more than once?
Right. And that's why it stuck out in my head when, you know, all this happened, and then I just thought, oh, well, I don't know, but...
Right. Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
Other than that, did you ever talk about any other stuff? Financial problems, plans, things
there,
like that?
There are financial problems, but all that it had to do with was IRS. So it was never with any, you know, outstanding loans from he got from anybody. It was just more of, like, tax issues.
He owed some taxes to the IRS?
Yeah. That's the only thing that he's ever... I don't know... He never told me the exact amount, but it was just enough where he had mentioned that he was, you know, trying to finish paying off his back taxes or something.
Gotcha.
That type of deal.
All right.
But he had never mentioned any type of loan that he got to pay him back or anything. It was just that he needed to pay him off.
Right. Okay. Very good. Anything else you can think of?
Not really. I mean,
only though.
No. Okay. That was pretty much it. I just remembered that, you know, he just pretty much didn't like her boyfriend. So, I mean, that was the only thing that I can even pull up that might have any
right.
help to you.
No recollection as to why? Like, he didn't say this?
No, he never told me exactly why. So, no.
Okay. How about, like, where they worked or anything like that?
Well, I knew Becky worked at Denny's, but, you know, other than that, John mostly worked for us the whole time.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know. Just Becky worked at Denny's, and then I know she quit Denny's and was going to start a new job somewhere else, but I can't remember where she said, because she was in our office at the time when I asked if she was still working there, and she was just quitting or something at that point.
Then when was this?
Oh, man. April, May.
She was quitting Denny's back in April?
That's what I remember. Yeah, that she had not worked there anymore. And maybe it was John that had told me that, but it was, you know, something that I remember because it just, I told her I was going to go in there and give her a hard time being a waitress.
Okay. All right, can I get your birthday, Nick? I never got it. Devin, I never got it from your wife.
Hey.
Very good. Okay.
All right.
If anything comes up or you think of something, free to give me a call.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks.
Bye.
Next, we're moving on to Vicky. Detective Bumpensero interviewed two of Vicky's co-workers at Macy's. Here, we get some confirmation of the planned trip that Tiffany talked about on the weekend that Vicky was killed. We also find out that Vicky had been on vacation for 2 weeks leading up to the murders. She was first due back to work on the Monday after the fire. Before I play this next interview, I want to quickly share some information taken from one of Vicky's pay stubs that was found in a crime scene photo. It's not entirely relevant to this episode, and I'll get into it more when we cover the finances, but as long as we're talking about Vicky's job at Macy's, I wanted to share that we know exactly how much money Vicky was making working there. According to her pay stub, which was from September of 2006, it was from 2 weeks before the murder, or about a week and a half before the murders. And according to that stub, Vicky was paid $7 per hour plus commission to work at Macy's. Now from the stub, I was able to use her year-to-date earnings to figure out her average pay per hour, because remember, she was also paid commission. On the stub, it says that as of September of 2006, Vicky had made $3,524 in commission, and she did that in 723 hours of work. Calculate that out, that's the equivalent of $4.87 per hour. So if you put that together with her base pay, Vicky averaged $11.87 an hour working at Macy's. Now, I'll get into all of that in much more detail in a future episode, but for now, here's Vicky's friend and co-worker, Melita Garza.
What's your birthday? It's okay. You know why we're here?
Yes. Yeah.
Right? And you said you might have some information for us?
Well, from the little stuff that Vicky would tell us, she was always talking about her ex-husband.
Uh-huh.
How he was, like, abusive with her when they were married. That's why she kind of left the relationship.
Right.
And at one point, he did threaten her during that time, saying that if she were to ever leave, he would go after her. But after that, she would still go out, have her lunch and stuff, but she was never worried about anything.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that
that's the only kind thing
of caught me right there when I would read the paper saying that they haven't contacted her husband or anything.
We have. We
now
talked
we have
to him. Yeah, he's not. He's been eliminated as a suspect.
Okay.
He was just in Northern California when all this happened. So, how long have you worked here?
Well, as Macy's, 6 months. But I transferred over from Auburn to Macy's.
Okay,
so like
and that's
and
where she worked
together.
Too,
yeah,
right? So
that's
you worked
where
together.
I met her.
You've worked together with Vicky for a year and a half.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a phone number I can write down so if I need to call you for whatever reason, if I think of something?
Yeah.
And where do you live?
I live right now in La Quinta.
And the address there? Okay. How would you describe her as far as things going? I mean, did you work in the same department?
Yes.
Okay, so you saw her every day when
yes.
you did work? Okay.
That was like my mom away from home.
Okay. So what can you tell me anything going on in the last little while?
Well, for
she having any problems with anybody?
For the past 2 weeks, she had been on vacation.
Oh.
But we didn't really see her. And then she had showed up the Friday before it happened. She's saying that things didn't go out the way she planned. She was going to stay home. But she was talking about going to visit her other daughter to go see her grandchild.
Okay. What kind of things didn't work out the way she planned?
She, when she was still here, she was like, oh, yeah, I have it set. We're going to do this on one day. We're going to do this on another.
Like what? Tell me, if you remember.
She said that she wanted to go to the beach again. She said she was planning on going to SeaWorld. She said she was going to go and see her grandchild because she hasn't seen the kid in a while.
And
stuff.
Which child is that?
I believe it was Tiffany's.
Okay.
The older daughter. And she's like, yeah, we're going to go do this. Me and John, we're going to go. Rebecca's going to be here with her friends and stuff. And I was like, okay. This Rebecca also came over here, too. We've known
right.
her for a while, too.
Okay.
And she just worked right there at Denny's, so she was
right.
always over here. Mom,
right.
yeah, let's go to lunch and stuff. And then
okay.
that Friday she came in, she's like, oh, well, we decided to stay because John had some work here, so it was like...
So they didn't go to San Diego?
No.
Okay. All right. And when was she supposed to be coming back to work?
Monday. She had a closing shift.
Okay. So Monday afternoon sometime?
Yeah, 12:45 to 9:15 is what she was scheduled.
Okay. So the last time you saw her was on Friday?
Yeah.
And she'd been on vacation for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Anything going on in her life new or different than usual prior to her going on vacation?
Nope. Everything seems the same.
She ever have any problems with anybody? I mean, not like a coworker, but like somebody in the store?
No.
Anything
she,
like that.
She was friendly with everybody. Everybody knew who she was.
Nobody had a problem with her, like a random weird customer or anything like
no.
that? All right.
Everybody was like a friend to her. And even the customers from Auburn since May, when they would come, she was always there with a smile.
So she said she was going to go to San Diego?
Mm-hmm.
Go to the beach. Would you say
yeah.
SeaWorld, too?
Yeah. That Robinson's, we would have our 3-day weekends of Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to the beach. That was like her thing to do when she had time.
Mm-hmm. She said she was going to see a world, to see a world with John, and she was going to see her grandson or grandchild. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. Do you know if it's a boy or a girl?
I'm not too sure. Because at one point, she had said that another family member was going to have a baby, and she had to go buy more clothes for the baby because one of our other coworkers just had her kid not too long ago.
Uh-huh.
She's like, oh, I love shopping for baby girls and stuff. So cute.
All women.
Yeah.
Okay. But when she came on Friday, she said that it didn't work out that way, and they stayed in town.
Yeah.
Was she, like, bummed out about that, or was it just like, oh, no big deal, we stayed here instead?
Yeah, no big deal.
Were you here when, I guess, one of her family members came and got some, picked up her belongings?
No, I was not. They told me after I saw that her little cubby was empty. I'm like, oh, well, her daughters came. I was like, well, how come nobody told me?
Mm-hmm.
I went to high school with one of her other daughters.
Which one?
Drew.
Jessica. Oh, right.
I had gone to high school with her. Yeah, she graduated a year after me, but
right. We
still know who each other was.
Sure.
Nobody told me. I was like, well, that was good. I wanted to, like, you know, give him a hug or something.
Right, right.
Go back. Nobody told me until after her cubby was emptied.
Right. It's too bad. Yeah, Drew was here yesterday and the day before. Not here. We were talking to her.
Yeah.
And her dad and stuff. Okay. Nothing else? Did you ever meet John?
Yeah. John was always around.
Yeah?
Because at that time at Robinson, she didn't have a car. It was only just him, and then he would have to pick her up after work. So he'd be here maybe half an hour to an hour just waiting for her to get off. And then just recently, they had gotten another car. So she's like, yeah, I can work anytime now. I don't have to worry about it.
Right.
He doesn't have to wait for me. He can go home. He can go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, John kind of like, was just, oh, was Vicky here? And I said, yeah. Got her, and then they would go to lunch, and then come back, and he would say hi, and he'd say bye. And sometimes he would sit in our little area reading the newspaper waiting for her.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, we didn't really talk. It was just a hi and bye type thing.
Seemed like a nice enough guy?
Yeah.
What about Becky? You know her very well?
Becky, she was outgoing. She liked having her fun. She would always tell her mom, well, I want to go over here. I want to go spend some time with my friends or mm-hmm. something. They would get in their arguments, but by the end of the day, they always made up.
What do they argue about?
About her being out with her friends. That she would be out too late or something, even though she
like
had
partying,
a
partying or like
yeah.
not coming home or not
no,
calling?
Partying.
Okay. What kind of partying was she doing, you know?
Just hanging out with her friends in school.
Okay. Anything else you can think of? If you have all the people that work here, who would you say she's the closest with? Who would she know? Who would know her better than anyone?
Better than anybody? They don't work here. She used to be our manager from Robinson's Maid.
Uh-huh.
Julie Chasen.
Julie?
Yes.
And you know how to spell the last name? Chasen?
Yes. Chason.
And you know where she went when she left Robinson's?
I
take it she didn't get hired on at Macy's, or she just didn't want to stay?
She didn't want to stay.
Is it a different setup working for Macy's than for Robinson's?
Yes, because she was our manager, and she wasn't going to be able to continue to be manager for
the
shoot.
She
was
going to
be something else, and she didn't want to take it.
Gotcha. She didn't want to demote.
Yeah.
All right. And so you don't know where she went?
No.
Where she works now?
I just know she kind of stayed home.
Okay. And they were pretty tight?
Yeah. Well, there was actually three of them that they were tight with. It was Julie, the manager. Lila, she was one of the older associates that worked with us at Robinson's May. And David Aquino, he actually works here now.
Okay. You know Lila's last name?
Murray.
Okay. Very good.
Because Lila and her were like best friends. Every time we had a Secret Santa, they always partnered with each other.
All right, not so Secret Santa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they knew what the other one wanted.
Sure.
They already been through it because they had worked years together too.
Right. Okay. Great. That's it. All set. Unless there's anything you can think of, if there is, just let someone know and they'll get a hold of us.
Okay.
Our last interview is with another coworker. David Aquina worked side by side with Vicky and knew her and her daughters very well. Here's David.
Okay, the investigative officer of today is September 22nd, 2006. The time is 2:44 p.m. And I'm speaking with David Aquino at Macy's. The reason why I wanted to talk to you guys was regarding Vicky Friedley, okay, and about the incident that happened Sunday evening, Sunday night. And I'm trying to get as much information about Vicky as I can.
Okay.
If you could just tell me, like, how long have you worked here? How long have you known Vicky?
Okay. Well, I only worked here since about 2003. Known Vicky ever since then.
Okay.
Because I came, actually, I worked with her at Walden since then.
Okay, and you guys came over here when Macy's took over?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you work in the same department as her?
Yeah.
Okay. You guys work the same shift sometimes, or all the time?
Well, not a lot of times, we
do. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we switch shifts and stuff. But,
right. What do you know about Vicky? Did she ever talk to you about any of her personal...
No, she was like the nicest person in the world to me. Mm-hmm. You know, she always helped me out whenever I didn't have any lunch money.
Right.
Or if I didn't have any cigarettes, she would help me out. But other than that, I find this thing hard to believe.
Mm-hmm.
When I found out about it, I was just, no way, you know.
Right.
And then I saw the news and I saw her house and I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Right. But, have you ever been to her house?
No. She brought in pictures, actually.
Okay.
Because she decorated her house and stuff.
Okay. So she never really discussed any of her personal issues or her children or her boyfriend?
No.
Nothing like that?
Well, like, not really that I could think of. Like, the children, you know, usual adolescent child, you know. Teenagers. And her boyfriend, John, he was cool too.
Did you meet him before?
Yeah. It's like they give me a ride home whenever I need one too.
Okay.
So.
One thing that I tell everybody is, you know, we need to find out what happened to these guys. And if that means saying something that you think you might get in trouble for, okay? Like I've been asking people about if they know about any drug use from either John or Vicky or anything like that. And my main concern, I'm not worried about the drug use. I'm concerned with who did this and why, okay? And what we talk about stays with us. I don't go around telling employers what their employees said. Okay, that's not why I'm here. I'm here strictly for this homicide. Okay, I've been doing this for a long time. And I know I don't know you and you don't know me, and sometimes it's hard for people to go, yeah, right, cops are here and they're telling me this or that. But that's how I operate. That's how all the guys on my unit operate, okay? Because our main goal is to find out who did this. It's a very, very tragic thing that happened, okay? And these people didn't deserve this, you know? And having said that, do you know of any drug use, smoking weed, whatever, from John or Vicky?
No, Vicky just said that she partnered with Andres back in the day.
Okay.
Yeah. This is like way that she used to say, oh, you know, we smoke weed in the bathroom.
Right.
Other than that, you know.
Never discussed.
No current drug use at all.
Okay.
So.
Did you guys ever go out to dinner or anything like that? Or do you know of any of Vicky's friends that she hangs out with? Did she ever talk about any of her friends?
No. She usually just went home, but I know of.
Okay.
I mean, we go out for cigarettes together, sometimes get up lunch.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, well, there was like one time where she was complaining about her ex-husband.
Okay.
That was a long time ago.
Okay.
She
never mentioned anything about John or any of John's friends? Or did John ever talk about his friends?
Yeah. Stay pretty quiet.
Okay. And do you know what he did for work?
He was like a handyman or something.
Okay.
Actually, was Vicky wanted me to actually help him out, you know, with his work, but, you know, I felt she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea how to, like, you know, what, I don't really know exactly what he does, but,
okay.
You know, I'm not much familiar with that.
Okay. I hear you. Okay. Is there anything that you can think of that comes to mind that you know, she may have said or that was kind of peculiar or odd that just struck you funny?
Actually, I didn't. Well, when she went to vacation, I didn't talk to her that day.
Okay. When did she go on vacation?
Like almost three weeks ago, actually.
So
then I went last week, and when I got back from Vegas, I got a call from my store manager, and she told me the news.
Okay.
Then I watched the news. And
right. So she went on vacation like 3 weeks ago?
Yeah, I believe.
Do you know how long she was going to be gone?
Actually, she was supposed to be back on Monday.
Okay.
I don't know where they went. She didn't tell us where she was going. It was kind of weird because usually when she go on vacation, she come by the store and, like, you know, buy something. She's always shopping.
Right.
She didn't come this time as well.
Okay. So the day that she went on vacation, do you know what day that was?
I don't know.
But it would have been about 2 or 3 weeks ago? From?
I know she had like a 2 week vacation.
Okay.
Straight. Which I'm all, whoa, that's cool. She went 2 weeks straight.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Is there anything else you can think of that might help me in my investigation?
Not really.
Okay.
Well, actually, her children were notified, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, they know. Do you know any of her kids?
Yeah. Well, I knew Becky. She was really nice. She always came on in the department. Drew. I'm actually glad she was in Japan when this happened. She was really nice too.
Right.
I mean, she was really cool too. Basically, I felt like her own little son. She always treated me like a little, you know, her son.
Right. So. How well do you know Tiffany?
Not that well. Drew and Rebecca, yeah.
Okay, because Tiffany lives out of the area?
Yeah, she's in Santa Barbara, that's all I know.
Okay. And you met her a few times, or?
Yeah, every time she comes to visit.
Okay. She used to see her here at the store?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you never visited them anywhere else?
No.
Only here? Okay. All right. If you can think of something else, you know, I'll give you a card. You can give me a call. Or if you hear something or somebody else talking, maybe they may have heard something. All right. All my numbers are on there. Bump and Sorrow.
Cool.
All right.
Okay.
Yep.
Did it help at all?
Well, every little piece, you know, helps. So.
Actually, I have more questions. Is there like a time for a service or a memorial?
You know, I'm not sure yet because there still hasn't been positive identification. I know the news has been putting all the names out there, but nothing's been confirmed yet, and it may take some time. All right? Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
This is as close of a look into John and Vicky's lives that we've had so far. And now it's time to dig a little deeper and get into their finances. That's next week on Truth and Justice. Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production and is distributed by Wondery. Edited by Kelly Barron's Brink and sound engineered by Shane Yoder. All music for the show was created, composed, and scored by PutThemInASong.com, who also mixed and mastered this episode. All of our fonts across all of our logos and banners were created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design, and you can find more of Tate's work on Etsy. Thank you to Katie Ross of CreatedInTandem.com for designing, creating, managing, and maintaining our website, TruthAndJusticePod.com, where you can view all photos and documents discussed in every episode. And a big thank you to our transcription team, Pamela Westby, Kathy McElhaney, Kaywood Yomnick, Ginger Viola, Erica Cantor, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Ford, Courtney Wimberly, and Melissa Cardenas. And as always, thank you to all of you for all of your engagement and support. If you like the show and you'd like to support us, you can do so in several ways. To financially support the show, the best thing you can do is just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice. You'll not only be supporting the show, but you'll get something in return. On Patreon, you can pledge as little as $3 a month, and we have reward levels. For just $5 a month, you get access to ad-free versions of all of our episodes and behind-the-scenes bonus video content every week. Then other reward levels include t-shirts, hats, and even the opportunity to co-host one of our Friday follow-up episodes. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice. You can also do us a huge favor by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. And lastly, you can always support us by supporting the brands that sponsor this program. If you have a new case you'd like us to consider for future seasons, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. And the most important thing that you can do is to engage in our investigations. You can keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the Truth and Justice Podcast fans page on Facebook. And for all you tweeters out there, you can connect with us on Twitter @TruthJusticePod. And I can be found personally on all forms of social media @BobRuffTruth. And don't forget that we always have our 24/7 voicemail line open for questions, comments, or tips on our cases. That phone number is 269-224-2833. However you do it, stay engaged, stay in touch. But as for now, I'm signing off. I'm Bob Ruff, and this has been Truth and Justice. Thank you.